You're listening to Unveiling Mormonism from PursueGod.org.
Have you ever wondered what happens to people who die without hearing the gospel? This is a question Christians have, Mormons have. I'm sure everybody has this question. Well, the Bible gives us a glimpse, but Mormonism takes that glimpse and it builds an entire doctrine around it. Today, we're going to look at Doctrine and Covenants 138, and we're going to see how LDS prophet Joseph F. Smith reinterpreted 1 Peter chapter 3 and also a verse in chapter 4 to clarify and expand upon the Mormon concept of spirit prison. But before we dive into all of this, let's read the actual Bible passages in question. 1 Peter 3, verses 18 to 20. And these are verses that are really hard to understand, even for evangelical Christians. I'm going to explain it by the end of the episode today. Here's what it says. Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the spirit. And here's the part that's kind of confusing or hard to understand. So he went and preached to the spirits in prison, those who disobeyed God long ago when God waited patiently while Noah was building his boat. Now, that's probably a lot of information for you to process if you're newer to Christianity, or even if you're a Mormon, maybe you're like, I'm not really sure what that's all about. We're going to get to it. We're going to get to the Mormon take on it and also the evangelical take. But there's another verse that seems to be connected to it. It's from the next chapter, 1 Peter 4, verse 6. He writes, that is why the good news was preached to those who are now dead. So although they were destined to die like all people, they now live forever with God in the spirit. All right, let's start with what Mormonism teaches based on Doctrine and Covenants, chapter 138. The year was 1918. LDS prophet Joseph F. Smith, not Joseph Smith, the founder, but I think this would have been his grandson, he claimed to receive a vision, and it's canonized now for Mormons as Doctrine and Covenants 138. Here's what it says. After reading these passages, he writes, and as I wondered, my eyes were opened and my understanding quickened, and I perceived that the Lord went not in person among the wicked and the disobedient who had rejected the truth to teach them, but behold, from among the righteous, he organized his forces and appointed messengers clothed with power and authority and commissioned them to go forth and carry the light of the gospel to them that were in darkness, even to all the spirits of men. And thus was the gospel preached to the dead. So Joseph F. Smith interpreted 1 Peter to mean that Jesus set up a massive post-mortem missionary system where spirits in spirit prison, which is another way to say like a temporary hell, I guess, could hear the gospel, accept the gospel, and progress to spirit paradise, and eventually even to exaltation. Now, this became foundational Mormon teaching, that in the spirit world, there are two compartments, spirit paradise for the righteous, and spirit prison for the ignorant or for the wicked, and missionary work continues after death. And then here on earth, temple work, like baptisms for the dead, is how people on earth help spirits in spirit prison to progress. Now, I know that was kind of a mouthful, and maybe some of you who are Mormons who are watching this or listening to this could put some comments below to see if I've got that right. I'm pretty sure that's how Mormons take all of this. Let's read a little bit more from Doctrine and Covenants 138. He says this, thus was the gospel preached to those who had died in their sins without a knowledge of the truth, or in transgression, having rejected the prophets. Now notice what he says in verse 33. These were taught faith in God, repentance from sin, this is where it gets interesting, vicarious baptism for the remission of sins, the gift of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands. Now vicarious baptism means baptism for the dead, proxy baptism. That means that people, Mormons on earth, in Mormon temples all around the world, are baptized in the place of people who already died and don't now have a chance to be baptized. That makes sense? That's vicarious baptism. And Joseph F. Smith said that this is what the Mormon postmortem missionaries are preaching to those who have already died. And then verse 34, it says, and all other principles of the gospel that were necessary for them to know in order to qualify themselves. So let me try to summarize this. People who have died who didn't respond to the Mormon gospel have a chance in the afterlife in spirit prison because there are missionaries, Mormon missionaries in spirit prison who are sharing the Mormon gospel with them. And then there are living Mormons here on earth in temples getting baptized, proxy baptism, among other things, in their stead. And so all this taken together allows those people who have died without responding to the Mormon gospel to still receive the gospel. In other words, there's another chance after you die to make it to heaven or salvation or whatever a Mormon would say about that. Now let's contrast this idea with what the Bible teaches. A few things that the Bible makes really clear. Number one, there is no second chance after death. Hebrews 9:27 says, and just as each person is destined to die once and after that comes judgment. So it's really clear in the Bible, there's no do-over, there's no second chance. According to the Bible, death closes the door on repentance. But the LDS Church teaches otherwise. And they even created a spirit world missionary system to support the idea. Now, I want to make sure you understand. What would I rather be true? I would rather the LDS thing be true because it seems a lot nicer. But the problem is we can't make up doctrine. We can't just talk about what seems nicer. We can't just like invent theology around what we wished were true for our friends and family members who reject the gospel. The Bible makes it clear that we have this life to make a decision for Jesus and only this life. That's really important. Now, the second thing is this, Jesus did not preach salvation in the spirit world. So look, if there's no second chances after death, then what the heck is 1 Peter 3:19 talking about when it says that he went and preached to the spirits in prison? Well, the word there in Greek is the word proclaimed, keruso. It's not actually technically the word evangelized. Jesus didn't go evangelize. That's a different word in Greek. The Greek word is keruso, which means proclaimed. So probably what's happening here is Jesus went between his death and resurrection. He went and he proclaimed his victory over the fallen angels. He was declaring judgment. He was not offering salvation to human beings between his death and resurrection. That much we know for sure. Now, what about 1 Peter 4:6, where it says, this is why the good news was preached to those who are now dead. So if you look at the context of 1 Peter 4:6, it's not actually talking about the same group of people from 1 Peter 3. It's most likely just simply referring to people, Christians who had come to faith in Jesus, but now they were dead. And if you read it in that context, it makes so much sense. He's talking about people who received the gospel while they were alive, but now they're dead. And Peter is saying that those guys now are experiencing the freedom that is theirs in Jesus Christ. Because listen, the Bible makes it super, super clear. Salvation comes only through faith in Christ during this life. Look at what Jesus said in John 3:18. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in Jesus, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged. And 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not after you die. Now, here's what I think the real issue is. I think the real problem here, if you just take a step back, is reading modern doctrine back into the Bible. See, here's what I believe about this. I believe that in 1918, Joseph F. Smith didn't discover something in 1 Peter. I think he read into it. This is called eisegesis. In other words, it's forcing your doctrine into the text rather than letting the text speak for itself. And it's not just a Mormon prophet who does it. I think preachers can do it. Christians can do it. We can all do this. It's not the way to read the Bible. You don't go to the Bible and say, I'm going to try to find something I already believe and read it into the text. This is what I think many people have done throughout the ages. And I think Mormonism is especially guilty of it. So Smith's vision in 1918 was shaped by Mormonism's rejection of eternal hell. It was shaped by a works-based salvation system that was already in place, and it was shaped by the need to justify temple ordinances for the dead. So by taking these two difficult verses, and I admit they're difficult verses. I mean, Christian scholars have wrestled with this for generations, but by taking these two difficult verses from 1 Peter and blending them with a so-called vision, I think that Joseph F. Smith created a whole afterlife system that the Bible never actually teaches. So what do you think about all this? I mean, let me know your thoughts in the comments. Did I get something wrong? For those of you who are Mormon viewers, what did I get wrong? I know you're not going to agree with my interpretation and my perspective on Smith's vision. If you're Mormon, you probably believe that Smith's vision is for real, and it's pretty important in Mormonism doctrinally. But again, I think if you just zoom out and if you take an honest look at these passages and read them in context, and not just in the context of the other verses in 1 Peter, but in context of the teachings of the whole Bible, you're going to find that we can't work for our salvation. We can't be saved by someone else's baptism for us or even by our own baptism. Baptism doesn't save. Ordinances don't save. We're saved by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. This is the clear teaching of the Bible.